end of the weekend, Friday night, I might even have to put my snowsuit on to go watch the football game. I don't know. It's supposed to be in the 30s. That's what I heard. I don't know. It's going to be cold. Winter is what? Did you know that they had 6 inches of snow out in Montana?
Colorado?
How about that? Praise the Lord. All right. Good to see you tonight. Take your Bible and turn to the first book of the Bible. Easiest one ever. Genesis.
Mine says introduction.
What?
Mine says introduction.
No, I said book of the Bible, not the whole thing. All right, we're going to go to Genesis, and I'm going to skip around a little bit, but hang in there. Get to the creation, and then we're going to go to a guy who loved to pray, and he did. I've been reading through the Bible. That's a good thing to do, you know. And the Lord's been enabled me to get through several places. I'm doing a different Bible study method now. Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs. I've always done that. I used to do at least 2 chapters Old Testament, Four chapters Old Testament, 2 chapters New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, get to the Bible twice a year. And I haven't done that. So now I'm back to Psalms, Proverbs, but I also do a chapter of Old Testament and a chapter of the New Testament. We are studying in our adult Sunday school class about the history of the world. And guess where it begins? The book of Genesis. And you know what? God just happened. No, it's just the world. It's really neat. I just ended Malachi right before I started the Bible study in Sunday school, and we started in Genesis. So now I'm in Genesis chapter 11, 12, 13, and that's really, really neat. Which brings me to, reminded me of praying of one of the patriarchs about calling upon the name of the Lord. When did that start? Calling upon the name of the Lord. Go to Genesis chapter 4. Right after Adam and Eve had a child, Cain and Abel. And, of course, Cain kills Abel, and the replacement for Abel is a man by the name of Seth. All right, Genesis chapter 4. All right, we see the birth of Cain and Abel, but immediately after Cain killed Abel, what happened? Well, before that, of course, Adam and Eve fell in sin. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all the hell of sin. Romans tells us that. We also find that historically in the book of Genesis. So, what happened was, during the time of Genesis, during the time in which God created the whole world, and then he created you and I, all right? He created, yes, Adam and Eve, and when Adam and Eve were in the garden, how did they talk to God? They had intimate fellowship with him. Unending fellowship. Talked with him. Walked with him. Unbelievable. And then God said to Adam and Eve, you can take of every tree of the garden, except for one. But if you do that, on that day you will die. And of course, death came into the world, and so death passed upon all men. So, in the next few months, 9 months or so, Cain, Abel, all right, and that horrible situation takes place. Eve says, I believe that God is going to send a replacement. Go to Genesis chapter 4. You're at Genesis chapter 4 real quick. We're going to get there, so hang in there. Genesis chapter 4, look at verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name, there it is, Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me what? All right, another seed instead of Abel. Okay. And to Seth, and to him also there was born a son, and they called his name Enos. And there's where we start. And then began man to call upon the name of the Lord. Why? I'll tell you, they were in trouble. The world was in trouble. And they needed a Savior from that point on, but they needed to call upon the name of the Lord. And so God directed to me to, what does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? Adam and Eve walking and talking with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for each one that's come out here for prayer meeting tonight. Please guide our steps. We do need to call upon your name every day, every hour. And we need that attitude of prayer, and pray that you would bless our study tonight, that Christ would receive all the glory. And guide our steps, guide our voice, guide our lips, and our study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible records for us some 650 definite prayers, of which 450 have answers. One commentator writes this: they range from Genesis to Revelation. Yet, when did man begin first to talk to the Lord? Well, we saw that in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. Much has been written about prayer, yet I believe the best written words in Scripture are really the reality of prayer. Why would man call upon the name of the Lord? There was a definite need. There's a definite need in our lives, every day of our lives, to call upon the name of the Lord. During this time, they set a precedence, and God records it for us. In the next few weeks, I did this study several years ago, but I'm just going to jump into this. There are several types of prayers, and this first one is a patriarch's prayer. Now, we're going to get to the patriarch because the Bible records seven individual prayers of this patriarch. His name is Abraham. From Genesis chapter 12 through 24, and from Adam, Genesis 4:26, we saw that the Scripture is relatively silent, even Enoch, all right, about calling upon the name of the Lord. It's relatively silent. Until we come to a man by the name of Abraham who records some definite prayers and times of conversations with God. Chapters 12 and 13, and the prayer talks about this. We talk about the prayer also. So I go ahead, let's jump ahead. We're jumping ahead in our history, but go to Genesis chapter 12, all right, and 13. And we're going to look at verse 7 and 8. And then we're going to jump around a little bit here. But we're looking at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7 and 8. Now, to fill this in, and you'll have to do this. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance. I'm reading for verse 5. So here's the history of this. And Abraham passed through the place of Shechem to the oak of Moreh, and the Canaanite was there then in the land. And then the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he builded something, an altar. And I believe that this was really going back to the very fact that at this point he was calling upon the name of the Lord. He was setting the precedence. And he removed from thence and to a mountain east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and notice what happened, and he called upon the name of the Lord. Abraham had a very definite need. Now, there are seven recorded prayers. That's the first one. All right, chapter 15 is the prayer for an heir. He needed an heir. Chapter 16 is a prayer for Hagar. And then chapter 17 is that fantastic time which he really prayed because of his son, Ishmael, or because of Ishmael. And then 18 and 19 is really a neat one, and that talks about intercession. All right? And then he intercedes for Abimelech in verse chapter 20, and 22 is obedience and prayer. And then chapter 24, we come to that time in which Abraham goes to Mount Moriah and takes his only son, Isaac, up onto the mount to do something that he never thought he would ever do. And that was to sacrifice his only son. And of course, he raised the knife and God said, there is a ram, speaking of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's speaking of the very fact that he believed so much prayer that God would raise his son Isaac from the dead. That's how much he believed. But let's jump back here a little bit. These seven prayers gives us a foundation of the principle of the altar. Abraham begins to establish himself as a patriarch. What do I mean by a patriarch? Pater, father of all living. All right. We see the Greek word there, but also Latin word, pater, father. All right. He would be the father of nations. God would give him that. So he was man. He was really, really, really interesting in this. God would use him, and why else is he known as the friend of God than the principle of the altar? You and I need that in our life. It's a place. And we're going to look at two things tonight. We're going to look at a place, which is an altar, and we're going to look at a posture, which is intercession. The place. Matthew Henry, one of the commentaries that I dearly love, and if you ever read Matthew Henry, he's an old guy, but there's some nuggets inside of Matthew Henry. But anyways, he says, wherever he had a tent, God had an altar, and an altar sanctified by prayer. You see, our relationship is with our Heavenly Father can only be strengthened by our communication to Him. How do you get to know somebody? How do you get to know God? How do you get to understand Him? Oh, yes, you read in the Bible. But it's by that intimate relationship and that type of prayer. That's why you've come tonight. Because you're calling upon the name of the Lord. Because he is somebody that is obviously special, special. And God is a man, is one who will answer. And he will do great and mighty things in our lives. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. That would be Paul later on in the New Testament. Herbert Lockyer, in his devotional, all the prayers of the Bible, says this about the altar. It means it's a slaughter place. It is a typical, all right, and it is typical, the fact the way to God is sprinkled with the blood of the Redeemer. What do I mean by that? The altar of sacrifice is that. But when we come to the altar of prayer, we are laying ourselves down and depending upon who? Upon God alone. Notice the progression of the establishment of this. Now, just flip through the Bible with me and look at some of these verses real quick, and you'll see some of these as we come out. All right, the progression of the establishment of the altar starts in chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. We've got that one already. Go to chapter 8, verse 20. This is neat because back a little bit, here is something that happened before, and this was a man by the name of Noah. He was in the line of Abraham, and as soon as they came out of the ark, what happened? Verse 20. He built an altar. All right. Unto the Lord, and took of every clean thing. You can imagine him. How many days? 180 days. Well, now he's building for 180 days, right? 40 days, 40 nights, floating. You can't even imagine that. But as soon as he steps out, built an altar. Called upon the name of the Lord. Well, anyways. All right, go to chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. Chapter 13, we're going to go through these real quick here. And Abraham went up out of Egypt and his wife unto Lot. Now here it is, into Negev. And Abraham was very rich with cattle and silver and gold. And he went from the journeys of Negev to Bethel. And I'm just going to jump ahead here. And the place of an altar which he had made there at the first. And there, what happened to Abraham? He did, again, called upon the name of the Lord. All right, chapter 13, we've got that one. Go to chapter 14, verse 22. Chapter 14, verse 22. And you'll catch this, but Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto who? The Lord Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Again, he's calling upon the name of the Lord. I believe that's a reference to the fact that he's calling upon the name of the Lord. All right? 15:2. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? He's praying for an heir of my house. Lazar, and Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And so he's having an intimate relationship, calling upon, again, the name of the Lord. Oh, we need that. Chapter 16, this is Hagar. Chapter 16, he tries to do it his own way. But now Hagar does it. This is interesting. We think of this as not, but look at verse 13, chapter 16. I think we got to go to verse 13 on this one. And she did what? She called upon the name of the Lord, who spoke unto her, thou God seest me, for she said, I have also seen him that seeth me. All right. Now, chapter 21. Jump ahead again. Chapter 21. This is really about what? Well, this is really about the place. And chapter 21, verse 33 and 34. 33 and verse 34 of chapter 21. You'll find it. I'm not there yet. All right. Verse 33 and 34. This is the offering of Isaac. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not there yet. I'm ahead. All right. Chapter 21, 33 and 34. All right. Am I right? Yes. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and what? Called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God, and Abraham sojourned in the Philistine land many days. Isn't that interesting? Here it is. If you go back through the genealogies and you go back through the history of the world and you find all of these names, here's a mention of the Philistines. Guess who else had problems with him? all the way through the kings, and you come to David. All right, enough of that. Okay. Chapter 22, verse 9. Here's the offering of Isaac. Abraham builds an altar, and they came to a place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar and laid the wood in order. What do you think that altar represented? His trust in God. He's called upon the name of the Lord. You can imagine what kind of a prayer meeting that was with God. What type of a meeting with God he was having that night. Absolutely incredible. Absolutely. We can build you know, preach for 500 years on that one. But anyways, chapter 26, notice it goes from there to Isaac now. All right, Isaac is spared. All right, now Isaac has time. Now notice what happens, because he had seen his father doing this. Verses 24 and 25, Isaac calls upon the name of the Lord. We're going to get to 26:25. I think we're going to get to that. All right. 26:25. And he built it. Now, who's this? And he built it an altar there and called upon who? And this is Isaac, his son, who was a great well driller. No, a digger. And absolutely. Now, interesting, from there, we go to his son. And his son's name is Jacob. Go to chapter 33. Flip ahead a little bit. Chapter 33. And verse 20. Jacob humbling himself. Now this is an incredible here in which Jacob and Esau were great enemies at this point, and he is really waiting. All right. And notice, and verse 20. Jacob worships the Lord, and he erected there an altar and called it Elohi Israel, the God of Israel. That was passed on. The principle of the altar was passed from patriarch to patriarch, to the next generation, to the next generation. Folks, we have an opportunity in our hearts, in our lives, in our families, in our church family, to pass upon that. This is principally where the altar happens in the church. Right here, as far as the corporate church, we come together on a Wednesday night to pray. And I know you're praying throughout the week, and you're praying about this, and we have a prayer chain that goes around. I believe that that's an example of the principle of the altar. We're taking God at His word, and we're coming before the Lord. Prayer meeting, corporate prayer. Passing directly to our families the prayer altar to the next generation. Now notice, the second principle is the principle not just of the place, all right? And I want to get it back here and get it right. But is a principle of the posture. The posture. And what is that? Well, it's going to be, in this particular one, there's going to be several elements that go through. I'm just going to jump through this very quickly here. But go to chapter 18. Chapter 18. We'll get back to Abraham, because principally this is where it starts. All right. Chapter 18. And there is an incredible happening that is going to take place here in Abraham's life. He's known as the friend of God, but in chapter 23 or chapter 18, verse 23 through 33, we see as a conversation between Abraham and God, as he is known as the friend of God, as he intercedes and stands in the place between God and this time Lot's, all right, nephew. And at this point, he understands what's going to happen. But in verse 23, and Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose, or peradventure, there should be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place of the 50 righteous that are here? That be far from me, or from thee, to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked," he says. He's pleading with God. He's interceding. "And that righteous should be the wicked that far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Of course, he's talking about the very fact that he's interceding at this point. And notice this has the attribute of believing God. Faith. And this is where faith comes into prayer. This is where you and I stand before a holy God and come before God and understand that we're not just throwing the prayers up there, but our faith is that in the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly. The one that can do beyond we can imagine. The one that we have that faith in. He believed God, the Bible says, Genesis 15:6, go back to that one. This is Abraham earlier, and we understand this is why, all right, and this is the beginning of faith at this point. We're seeing this in Genesis 15 and verse number 6. And he believed God, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Of course, we understand that is talking about salvation, but we're also speaking of prayer of faith at this point. He is interceding for Lot. Go back to chapter 18. Verse 27 and 28 is recorded for us, is the second element of that prayer, and that is humility. When you and I bow the knee before God, we are humbling ourselves in the sight of God. That's exactly what is happening here. He records for us in this next element. Look at verse 27 and verse 28. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I've taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Who am I but dust and ashes? He says, I'm nothing. Suppose there shall lack 5 and 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. Abraham is saying, I'm nothing. He's saying, I'm able to come before the Lord. I'm interceding. But at this point, the element of vast importance is our humility. He says, I'm in dust and ashes. James tells us this, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Our humility before God, our coming before God, there's several other places. You heard from Pastor even on Sunday morning, cast thy care upon the Lord, and he shall care for you. And James and 1 Peter talks about that. Love is the third element of this intercession. And that's found in verse 31. Look at verse 31. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Suppose there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. This is a steadfast continuing to call upon the name of the Lord. Don't give up. Amen? Don't give up. God wants us to, and this is Abraham. He realizes what God can do and what God will do. And at this point, this element, a type of love for people, what a motivation. The petition for a person to motivate us to, as Abraham would say, I'm going all the way. How far would God want us to go? There's a fourth element, and this one is really the end of it. And this is toward the end of it, the last couple verses. And he continues, and he said, verse 32, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet this once, suppose 10. So he takes it all the way down to 10. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way. As soon as he has ceased talking, excuse me, with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. And you know the rest of the story. If you go to chapter 19, you'll read all about what happened to Lot. And that Lot was brought out of that. Lot was a righteous man. We read that in the New Testament. Why? Well, of course, we can go through a whole lot of talking about, you know, his looking at and following and doing that. But Abraham persistently prayed. He did that. Wow. God answered the prayer in chapter 19. Not for the city, no, but for Lot. God rained upon the city, but Lot was removed from that. Well, I'll tell you, what a man. What a man of prayer. What a patriarch. What a one that we can model after. Would to God that you and I would have the place, the altar. We're here. But on a daily basis, I'm as busy as a hoot. And you are too. And God's speaking to me about it too. I need to spend some more time on my knees. Come before the Lord. Ask God to do something. And we really need that persistency. We really need that fervency. And really doing that intercession. That's probably one of the greatest of all ministries of a Christian. Do you realize that? That's probably the greatest of all. And that is interceding for somebody. Coming before God. Somebody's stumbling in something. Somebody's going through. Interceding for the pastor. All right. There's something going on in the auditorium. You know that there's interference going on. God, would you please shut it down or break through? That's intercession. All right. I trust that that's encouragement to you tonight.